Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Roundaway, but I'll let you pick. Do we want to go to the Roundaway in Cahoma County or the Roundaway in Sunflower County?
So is this just like a roundabout? Like the entire community is just like a little roundabout?
I don't know.
You go in and you're out, and it's...
Let me see if I... Just looking at the map here.
It's kind of like whenever you're coming out
it's two different places. It's two completely different places.
It's kind of like whenever you're going down Highway 9 and you come through Bruce and you get to the roundabout to get to Oxford.
That song by Yes would have been a lot cooler if it was Roundaway.
Yes.
Out in the Roundaway, take it day by day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. You are cooking out this weekend. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I'm getting excited just thinking about this weekend. You know, with these last couple weekends, with all the traveling and everything going on, it's been tough to cook out, but not this weekend. I'm definitely going to fire up the grill. And will beef be on the menu? Probably so. And why shouldn't it be? It's a great, great thing to put a steak on the grill. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. If you're looking for great Mississippi State gear, you can find it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. So funny over there.
There's a new meme of you.
Of me?
Yes.
Where will I see this meme?
Finish your read.
Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Robbie and I are headed to Restaurant Tyler. As soon as this podcast ends, we're going to go grab some lunch over there. We're looking forward to that. It's been a while since I've been at Restaurant Tyler. I have not done a great job of my New Year's resolution. I haven't eaten there as often as I need to. Maybe I can make it up with a strong
finish. I haven't either, but that's like, I need either
like two times a week. Yeah. So I'll do what I can in the second half of the season here with Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, I'm going to buzz through these now because I want to see this meme. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to answer those questions from a person. You need to get answers from a person who knows you as well as they know your money, a bank that provides a level of service. You're only going to get it at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Where is this meme? Is it on your board?
It is in the former MSU players who flamed out at USM thread.
Okay.
At the very end, our friend JDog21 has created a meme.
Okay.
Of you, a yeah, but still meme.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, cool. J-Dog, if you're listening, can I get a little? I've lost some weight since that picture. Help me out here. That's still really funny, though. That's still really good.
I still got that picture.
About to say, yeah, but still so MF and loud.
I still got that picture of you at baseball media days from like 2015 or something.
Don't ever show that picture. I look terrible in that picture. I had just rolled out of bed. I'm like 350 pounds. I did not want to be there. Just throw that picture away.
Sometimes it's nice to have a gentle reminder.
You know what?
How far you've come.
I got enough. I got Facebook. I got enough.
Okay.
So
you forgot to mention our third member of the crew.
She can come over here for 1 second.
We'll let her one second.
Sure.
What for one time
Come here.
she can get in the camera view.
Always, in case you're wondering, always a pleasure to have Miss Natty Fall. Let's move this microphone so you can see that beautiful face. Look at this beautiful child. Good to see you, my dear. Say hello.
Hi.
All right, go sit back down.
So I'm offering her $20 to get whatever she wants if she sits still in that chair over
Me tell
there.
you, I'll sit still in this chair and I'll let you carry this podcast, or you give me $20.
Brian brought up churning
I
spoon.
did. I said that's a great reward. And
And
she's got the rock eyebrow.
she has
He,
started,
she
yeah,
she can do that. She can get that one eyebrow up. That's
she's learned
crazy.
that from me.
Okay.
Yeah. She knows how to make faces from
Yeah.
me.
Before we get into the positional breakdown, we're talking defensive line today. I want to point something out. Yesterday we ran a that meme is really funny. We ran a poll. 3,992 votes for who do you think of when you hear the term Uncle Jesse?
At this point, we'll likely get over 4,000
No,
before the end of the
it's
show.
already over.
Oh, you ended
It's
it?
already, yeah,
Okay.
because I did it for 24 hours and it was at 10:36 yesterday. So that's the final tally. First off, congrats to John Stamos, 70.3%. He wins in a landslide.
I had a feeling, but.
But again, I want to point something out here: 3,992 votes. Starkville mayoral election, 2,216 votes.
Oh man.
There are more people around the world caring about Uncle Jesse than, I mean, how many people live here? Like 25,000? I got a higher percentage of my tweet
It's
followers. That's crazy.
really insane how that works. I
That's
mean,
so funny.
and hey, I mean,
God,
it's
that's
a lot
me.
easier to just click a button with your thumb, but
I gotta tell this guy, I need a better picture.
I was not I was surprised it was close at one point. And
So
I think
it
Brandon
started out,
Walker replied to
yeah,
it and just got everybody's.
it started out,
It was pretty high.
it was going Stamos.
Yeah.
It got all the way, I think, to like 52-48. I was like, okay, Uncle Jesse Denver Pyle is making a comeback here. Then Brandon Walker chimes in, and I don't know if he retweeted or not, but maybe his reply was enough that and Barstool's a younger crowd, so they're going to go full house. And it took off from there, and a 70%. So congrats to Stamos.
Well, I told you
I can't
that.
help but I
I
want
told
to
you
bestow the title on him. He's Uncle Jesse.
Well, I told you the millennials
Yeah.
would pick Stamos.
I
And
thought
that's probably there's probably a higher number of millennials on
if
Twitter.
I had done this poll on Facebook,
Yes.
old Uncle Jesse wins. So,
Probably yes.
by the way,
But
I would like to
yeah.
point out there something that people do that annoys the crap out of me. Like,
Comment.
well, it's not the comments so much. I appreciate the comments. A lot of them were funny, but you also had an inordinate amount of people, of old people, who
Yeah.
are like, "It's obviously Dukes of Hazzard. I've never even watched Full House," or "What's Full House?" Like, shut up. You
Yeah, one
watch.
guy was like, I can't believe there's men that watch Full House.
Like,
Well,
you watch Full House.
first of all, it was one of the most popular
Yeah.
sitcoms of all time.
Yeah.
Secondly, the majority of the people that watched Full
And so
House
his children.
were children.
Yeah.
I watched that when I was a kid. It was on
So,
TV before I was
yeah.
born.
There we go. All right. 4,000 votes. Very, very
That's
impressive.
amazing.
Very impressive. Ah, all right. Positional breakdown time. And we are finally on the defensive side of the ball. Let's talk about this Mississippi State defensive line.
My goal was by the end of this, Natty, to be able to
To
talk
talk
about the
about. She
Mississippi State
can go
defensive
to school and be
line.
like, "Let me tell you all about Red Hibbler."
She knows nothing about this. She came up to me at camp this summer and
Yeah.
asked, Dad, are you famous? She asked me that.
He is. He is
She,
famous.
I told her no, and she was very disappointed
No,
because
he
I
is. He
think she had
absolutely
been
is.
bragging to her
He absolutely is.
friends.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we've been doing this all this time, you know, getting a fair, starting off with, is this a fair statement? This, like, three deep, four deep, however you want to look at it, is 1,000 times better than it
Oh,
was a
yeah.
season ago. But I got a Portnoy it here. It may still not be great or
Yeah.
even good. It's
It
just
could be.
better.
It could be a Portnoy situation. Great guys, but
But
I don't know. I think it's going to be significantly better. And I don't think we talk about that enough. Because you think about how awful that defensive line was last year. Being significantly better, I think, is going to be a big deal. I don't, again, like how much better that is, who knows? If it's a top 80 defense nationally, I think you have a chance to push for 6 wins. I really do. I do not think that this defense has to be extraordinary for this team to be competitive. But I do think that they need to be much, much, much better.
Yeah.
And so who do you have up front is the question now. And I think that's the fact that you have so many guys now that's creating competition, I think that's a huge deal for you this year, because last year you didn't have competition.
Yeah.
You didn't have enough
You did
players.
not. You knew who was going to play.
You had Kai McClendon, who I think is going to be a good player, having to be forced into action being your starting nose tackle, and I thought performed fairly well. But that's a guy that was not playing defensive line full time for the last few years. He was a late get for you in that class. I think he's a steal, but that's who you were counting on to be your guy in the middle. Well, now this year, you look at the middle, and I can argue that McClendon could end up being third or fourth on the depth chart
Right.
this year. So I'm hearing really good things about Jamil
That's who
Burrow.
I wanted to start with,
Yeah.
was that everything I've heard coming out of spring and everything is that this is a guy who the talent was obvious. I mean, he signed with Alabama out of high school. So, I mean, Nick Saban didn't, just taking anybody off the street to play defensive line for him. It was more about an attitude than anything else. He was away from the game, and that seems to have been like, okay, this is my last chance. I've got to do this now. And I think he feels like he owes Mississippi State a little something
Well, I
here.
think
And
last year he was in the workforce.
he was working.
So anytime you have somebody, we saw that with Joe Powell, and like completely different situation. Joe Powell was not somebody that there were some red flags or anything like that. He just was done with his playing career. But when he came back, I think you can definitely see a difference in a player like Joe Powell and somebody that's been doing this the last few years. Joe Powell had, in his mind, he was done with his career.
Yeah.
He got a second chance at it.
Yeah.
And I think this year you noticed a major difference with him for sure. I think Jamil Burrows is going to be like that. Anytime you have something taken away from you or you get away from it for a little bit, I
Something
think it
you love,
creates,
especially.
well, it's kind of a fight or flight deal. Like
Yeah.
either he's going to fight it out and he's going to be a difference maker for you, or he's not. And I'm leaning towards him being a difference maker. Everybody I talk to says that he's been a leader in the locker room. He's been
That's great to
really good
hear
in
at Mississippi
workouts.
State.
I thought he was solid in the little we were able to see in the spring too. 6'3", 330, and was a former high four-star, five-star
Yeah.
caliber player coming out of high school that everybody wanted. The talent never left this guy. Anytime you have a guy rated at that spot, the talent is there.
Yeah.
And it's a lot like Brandon Jennings to me. Brandon Jennings was a four-star caliber player. He got offers from all over the country. He kind of had that taken away from him coming to junior college. I thought last year he played really well. I think he has a chance for a big year at linebacker, and we'll talk about him in the next one. But
Yeah.
Burrows has a chance to be a legitimate SEC difference maker in the middle, something that you've been missing for several years.
Yeah.
I
And
mean,
since Simmons left,
it's
I
probably from
mean,
Simmons. And
you had
I
a
don't
little bit
think
of
this
that
is
with Cam
Simmons.
Young.
I don't think it's a Simmons caliber
If I
player,
can
but
get Cam Young,
I think he can be Cam Young.
if I can get Cam Young, I'll take that. Now, can I get Will Whitson to be Marquis Spencer?
Well, and that's the thing about Burroughs. It's
I'm
pretty
going to
much
point
Cam.
that out. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're talking about Simmons, right? I don't need Simmons and Sweat, but if
No.
I can have Marquis Spencer and Cam Young, I am good.
Yeah.
I am good.
For this year, just getting back on track defensively,
And
because that.
Hibbler would who is the who would have been the third guy there? Somebody like trying to remember. Oh, Chauncey Rivers. The 2019 team, if I have that defensive line here, I am a world better than I was a year ago.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you're looking for here, is like in the middle of the, and you're running the three down lineman, and you got that nose tackle. You need that guy to eat up blockers to free up everybody else. And State just didn't have that. They didn't have a guy like that last year. I thought Kai McClendon performed well, but Calvin Dinkins, if he were healthy, I think had the ability to do some of that. He wasn't healthy. Kedrick Beasley-Jones wasn't healthy. You lost Eric Taylor. You had no depth there. Your top three guys were out. And so this year you have options. Terrence Hibbler, we'll see what kind of step he makes.
I am fascinated by him because that was your highest rated guy 2 years ago.
He should have been a guy that last year
and couldn't get on the field for the worst defense in college football. Yeah. That was a big red flag for me. So I'm interested to see how he bounces back. That's definitely one I got an eye on.
Alvin Dinkins stay healthy. I mean, I don't think you can count on him until he does.
So much about shape and staying healthy, and it's like if I'm shaping, I'm like, what about him? because he never stays healthy.
That's the frustrating thing about it. He played like one possession last year.
Was great.
And made a sack.
Like, yeah. You're like, okay, here we go.
Backfield every play.
And then he's out.
So, you know, nose tackle is very important for State this year. Bingley Jones is back.
Yeah.
And he's not a world beater, but I think that he's a good, solid.
If he's a rotation piece, he's fine.
Yeah. So the biggest thing for Mississippi State right now going into training camp is you are healthy and deep in the middle of the defensive line.
Yeah.
And at a position that's so important for your defense because it dictates literally everything. What you do up front dictates the second level. It dictates what you're doing at linebacker, dictates what you're doing at cornerback and safety. It affects everything. And State not able to get pressure last year. We talked so much about the cornerbacks that, you know, people said the secondary was terrible. It's really hard to be good back there when you're having to guard for 5 seconds. The quarterback should have 3 seconds tops.
At most, yeah.
And you have 5, 6 seconds back there where the guy's just kind of hopping around. Nobody's coming after him. When you are in the backfield, you're whiffing and missing. It's very difficult to ask your cornerbacks and your safeties to guard for that long. So I don't think that they deserve as much heat as they've gotten. I think that defensive line is the pulse of the defense, and they didn't have it last year. Well, what you did in the offseason is you went and got depth, and you did what Jeff Lebby said he wanted to do. He wanted to get guys that could help in practice. They didn't have guys that could help in practice.
Right.
You now are like four deep. Like if McClendon is like your fourth guy, that's a guy that played in 12 games last year and was starting in the end of the year in the SEC. That's a big thing to have this year. So I think that's important to have in that nose tackle position. You want to be able to create some damage in the middle of that offensive line, and that's going to free up your pass rushers. It's going to change everything for the whole defense if State can do that.
State had 10 sacks a season ago in the year. They had going into the final four games of the season, they had a total of 5 sacks. So they played 8 games and had 5 sacks.
Pitiful.
As we said before, you mentioned Calvin Dinkins had a sack in the first game against Eastern Kentucky, then got injured and was out, and yet he was the team's leading sacker until late in the season.
The crazy thing is like everybody kept their job on the defense.
Yeah.
So that you have to
deliver.
You have to have high expectations for that group to be significantly better.
Yeah.
Last year,
and it doesn't have to be 20 sacks. It doesn't. It just needs to be. I need at least 1.5 sacks a game. I guess that is 20, but you know, now that I do the math. But it doesn't have. I don't need Montez Sweat out there getting me 11, 12 sacks by himself.
Last year in conference games only. Suntareen Perkins had 9 sacks, and Princely Eminem had 8.5. That's in conference games only. What does State have in conference games?
5. So State had 2 sacks against Eastern Kentucky, 1 against Arizona State, none against Toledo, none against Toledo. I'd say that twice. None against Florida, 2 sacks against Texas, none against Georgia, none against Texas A&M. You just run into the quarterback at some point. None against Arkansas, 2 against UMass, none against Tennessee, 1 against Missouri, and 2 against Ole Miss. Going into the final game of the season, 8 sacks. That's
10 guys had in the SEC, 10 guys had 5.5 plus in conference games only.
Yeah, and State had 5 as a team.
That's just
– it's got to be better.
I mean, it's the worst I've ever seen at Mississippi State.
It was unbelievably bad.
That was the worst defensive line Mississippi State has put on the field in my lifetime. And it's hard to imagine the modern era there being a worse group. And I'm not saying that to just, like, bang on those guys, but, like, it's just the truth. It's just
one guy I don't think we've talked about. Have we talked about Trevion Williams?
No. We talk about him every year.
This is it, right? This has got to be it. I can't go another step with him. He's got to deliver now.
And I think I shudder to say this a little bit, but I think he will have a solid season this year.
Okay. And this is the guy that we anointed on this show as he's the next in the line of the Fletcher Cox, Chris Jones, Justin. He's the next guy, and it has not happened.
He was much better, but he was injured the first couple of seasons. But
yeah.
He should have had more. He had a half of a sack last year.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to have 4 or 5 sacks.
And I do wonder, you know, how much of that is the fact that you have no pressure in the middle of the defensive line that's allowing for some one-on-one coverage a little more with the tackles. And, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. That $20 is getting close to fading that.
It's on a string now.
Starting to make noise.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's such an important piece to this roster. I mean, because he's arguably the most talented defensive lineman you have out of all those guys.
He and Burrows would be the guys what I would say from a talent perspective are there.
And you look at his like the size and like he looks like an NFL guy. He looks like a Mississippi State defensive lineman looked, you know, a few years ago.
Yeah.
And so that you need him to step up. You need Deontay Anderson to be really good this year. He's a senior. You've invested money in this guy and in Travion Williams. These are guys that you've been able to retain. When you retain guys at this stage of college football, it means something. It means that you want them. They want to be here. They're developing. They should be getting better and better. Those guys should be good this year. They should be taking that next step and being guys that, you know, we're talking about each and every week. So they're huge in this whole process. I think the players that have been here for a while are as big as these transfers.
Yeah.
It's time for them to
– You got a good mix here.
It's time for them to get going.
So give me your three-man front. Who's your guys to start game one?
I think Travion Williams is probably going to be.
So that's with the defensive tackle or defensive end.
And that was, I would be more kind of like of a defensive end. But
okay.
On the end, but I think they call it a tackle.
Yeah.
So like where he's been lining up on the left tackle,
right.
I think he could win that spot.
Okay.
I also think that probably Will Whitson is in that position, maybe. I think that
Phil Whitson.
That's right. I think Bledsoe is going to lock down that nose tackle position. I really have
Bledsoe not Burrows. Burrows. Yeah.
Not Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Although I think Bledsoe can help you this year.
I think so too.
And then who's your pass rusher? Is
that
it
Hibbler?
Dean Thomas? Is it Red Hibbler? I think that's the most fascinating position group. Going into training camp is who wins that pass rushing position, that defensive end, and then also the edge.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Jack position.
Yeah.
Or the linebackers, I think.
Yeah, for sure. But those are the two spots. Like, who are you putting out there? Joseph Head.
Yeah.
Where's he factor in? That's been a guy that David Turner's been high on for a long time.
And then you mentioned McClendon. I agree with you. I thought he was good.
I thought he was solid. I mean,
and that's a guy that, you know,
he did everything that he was capable of doing as a true freshman in the SEC.
He mixed out his talent.
Yeah.
And if he takes a step forward, he can be a big contributor.
It wasn't good enough for Mississippi State to be good up front.
Right.
But that's not his fault. He shouldn't have been in that position. He's not ready for that. He came in as an early graduate, and that turned out to be big for him because he got the spring.
Yeah.
But he wasn't supposed to be a guy that you're counting on starting at nose tackle.
Mm-hmm.
That's not his fault at all.
No.
This is supposed to be a learning year for him. Calvin Dinkins got a red shirt year. Travion Williams got a red shirt year. Those guys had time to prepare. This guy didn't. He was thrown to the fire.
Yeah.
And I thought he performed well.
I thought he did too. So.
Well, we haven't talked about Big Diesel yet. Jamarcus Moore.
So I got to tell you this, and you may laugh. You know, I use this website, Our Lads, right?
Yeah.
They have 5 defensive ends listed. They have 5 nose tackles listed. They have 5 defensive tackles listed. Big Diesel ain't on the list. Didn't make the cut.
Are they
sleeping on Big Diesel?
Making a giant mistake here.
They
are making a giant mistake.
We shall see.
Who else are we not talking about? Bledsoe, I mentioned him.
You mentioned Bledsoe.
I think he can help you.
We don't say much about Rasheem Thomas. I don't have any expectations for Darren Reed. the transfer from Auburn.
It's just once you get, and I guess Bledsoe's kind of similar, but I think he was playing a little more than
Yeah, he
Reed.
was.
Once you get into like year three
Yeah.
in the
Well, I said that,
SEC,
but Bledsoe has
he didn't have the stats.
a total of six tackles.
Yeah, but he was playing defensive tackle, and he
Yeah.
got to play, I think, a little more than Reed.
Reed didn't play at all last year.
So Reed has like no stats.
Yeah.
So I, when you get into year three in the
It's kind of rough
SEC,
though, Robbie, when I'm like, that guy has more stats than the other guy. One guy's stats is six career tackles and the other guy's is none.
well, that's the conversation we were having when they picked up these
Yeah.
guys. It's like if you're getting these players, they need to have stats, like especially if they're in year three of the SEC. If they're not playing at another SEC school, then it's kind of hard to expect a lot out of them at this SEC school.
Right.
But I'll say this, I have more faith in like Aiden Williams and Vernon Thompson and guys like that performing at Mississippi State than I do some of these defensive linemen, because we've seen Mississippi State go after these defensive linemen that haven't really done much, and they come here and they don't really do much. So my expectations are very low for those players, but I have heard good things about Bledsoe. So we shall see. But I like what they've done with the defensive line. Unquestionably, I feel no hesitation saying that this defensive line is going to be significantly better than last year. And again, it doesn't take much. But I do think that this is going to be a big lift for Mississippi State to have a line that can go out and they can get more pressure. It's going to get the defense off the field more. The defense will be better this year. It's just going to be how far can you take that?
Agreed.
And it starts with the defensive line.
Agreed. Agreed. All right, we'll talk about the linebackers, and that will include the Jack position later next week. Yeah. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother right there in the heart of the Cotton District. As we're recording, today is Wing Wednesday. So if you know, if I put this show up at an early enough time, maybe you can get over there and get some wings. You should do that. But there's always next week as well. And of course, the older brother. Did our guy ever tell us how it was?
No, he gave us the Irish goodbye.
He ghosted us.
He used
There's no way he had a bad time.
this for a suggestion, which you gave him the session I didn't.
Yeah.
And then just left.
Come on, man.
Just got out of here.
I need to know. I need to know. Got to know what happened at the older brother
He
yesterday.
might be
But
in a coma from the whatever sandwich or burger he had.
it's possible. It's very possible. If you want to enjoy a great meal, it's real simple to do in Starkville. Just head to the Cotton District and eat at restaurant top. No, nope. At Two Brothers Smoked Meats.
Go to both.
I got it on the brain. And the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need any kind of copier or printer, any kind of computer or laptop for your business, it's all right there for you at Advantage Business Systems. I'll tell you what I'm laughing at in a second.
Okay.
And so they make it really easy to do it. And they're a Mississippi business just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. There's just something about a Cleveland Browns barge in Lake Erie sponsored by Dude Wipes.
Okay, I saw that yesterday, but I didn't understand what was really
I don't
going
know what's
on
going on,
there.
but that's a Dude Wipes and the Cleveland Browns is an interesting combo.
I mean, maybe that's
That's what they're going
marketing
for. Yeah,
genius.
it could be. Yeah. Yeah, they would like to wipe away some of their quarterback choices over the years,
Okay.
including one who's currently on the roster.
That's true.
Maybe two. I don't know. Yeah. Where are we? Maroon
Dude
Company?
wipes.
No. Maroon and Company. Yeah. Maroon and Company. That's a great place to go get Mississippi State. Did you get that shirt at Maroon and Company?
No, I didn't. I can't lie. I've got plenty of shirts from Maroon and Company, by the way. That's your
I
fault.
mean, just I'm just setting it on the tee. All you gotta do is swing. All you gotta do is swing through. Help me
Well, I
out.
don't lie.
Help me out, brother.
I don't lie.
Well, you don't lie. I'll give you that. Well, I won't lie either. Maroon and Company is a great place to go grab Mississippi State gear if you're here in Starkville. And maroonandco.com is the website you need to use if you're not going to be in Starkville when you need something maroon and white. Everything right there under one roof. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off on regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, you need to go to Maroon and Co.
And I do my fair share of shopping.
You do. You shop there. I was hopeful. I did. That was a hopeful pitch there.
I've got about three or four hats from there. I got about eight
Yeah,
shirts.
I know. I know. You're a great customer. I was just hoping that you would just
I
be
love
like,
Wyatt.
yeah, we love Wyatt. He's great.
I love the T&L code.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I was just hopeful. I was hopeful.
It got me like 10 or 15 bucks off my shirt
There
last
you
time I
go.
was in there.
This weekend, if you're going to be out in the yard, you could make it a lot easier on yourself if you just mustered up some John Deere firepower, and you can do that with a trip to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. What are you doing around the house this weekend? Are you mowing? Are you in the garden? Do you have projects that need to be done around your house? Are you just cooking out? Or are you leaving the house? Are you getting outdoors this weekend? Everything I just said, there's something for you at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Make the trip to Saltillo to find out what they can do for you, and check out that selection of John Deere. Commercial mowers, Gators, compact tractors, great financing available as low as 0% in some instances. Saltillo, Mississippi, Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. All right, opponent preview time. A year ago, we kind of threw our hands in the air with Florida. We were like, this is it. Early in the season, they got to win this game to get things back on track. They didn't, and things never got back on track. A little later in the season this year, and very interesting, and I ask our guest, Graham Hall, about this in just a moment. This is Florida's schedule. We've already done it once, but I'll refresh your memory. Before they play Mississippi State, they have two non-conference games against Long Island and Southern and South Florida. All right. Then they're at LSU, at Miami, Texas at home, at Texas A&M. That's their schedule before they play Mississippi State. So there's a world where they win. They're 4-2, or goodness, 5-1. And they're in great shape, and they're talking about playing in the college football playoff. And there's a world where they're 2-4, and Napier's maybe on the way out already. So they're an
That three
interesting.
game stretch, well, that four game
Right.
stretch.
There's a bye week in the middle there. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about it now with Graham Hall of Swamp 24/7. All of our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by our good friends over at Alora Modern Wellness. I'm going to be making an appointment there for next week to get myself a little cryotherapy. Guys, I am nearly 50 years old. I have been on this weight loss journey, and I exercise almost daily. I walk 3 to 4 miles a day. That is tough for a guy my age. And if you're a guy my age, or if you're even a little younger, you know what I'm talking about. If you go to the gym, you've got to be able to recover as hard as you work out. Make an appointment at Alora Modern Wellness to do exactly that. Heat, cold, stretch. They've got an incredible selection of services that can get you feeling better. And that's what it's about, guys. You want to walk in feeling bad and walk out feeling great. And you're going to do that each and every time. Alora Modern Wellness. AloraModernWellness.com is the website. You can book everything right there online. Check them out. AloraModernWellness.com. We'll go now to my interview with Graham Hall of Swamp 24/7. Big game midway through the season for Mississippi State. A game that I would say that if State wants to have postseason aspirations, this one going to go a long way towards that. It's the trip to Florida. Florida, of course, coming to Starkville last year and getting the win. Graham Hall joins us from Swamp 24/7. And Graham, when I look at this Florida team, I like a lot of the pieces. I voted Lagway second team all SEC. I was shocked to not see him in the three quarterbacks to get preseason honors, if we're being honest. I like a lot of the skill position pieces. My concerns are with the head guy, with Billy Napier. We talk every year about players developing and getting better. Is Napier better as a coach this year than he was the previous couple of years in Gainesville?
I think every coach would say that they're learning lessons from the previous years and improving. And I think that that is the case for Billy Napier. I think every coach out there has a better grapple on the state of college football. And there's been so much change over the last 5 years. And we now have more of it with revenue sharing and programs hiring general managers and handling your roster and dealing with player agents and all these things. And the 60 minutes of football, I think for Billy Napier, there's been a lot of questions about his prowess as a head coach and his offense. And I do think that it's such a interesting conundrum in a sense, because coaches get here to this level of coaching teams like Mississippi State and Florida and Georgia from their decision making, and then kind of taking a back seat and being like, hey, I can give some of these things up, is kind of counterintuitive in a sense, because they got here because of their decision making. And while there are other coaches around them who put them in the position to be successful, they wouldn't be here without the work that they put in. And when you're a head coach, kind of taking that step back and putting your future in someone else's hands can be a difficult thing to embrace. And I think that Billy Napier thinks there's pros and cons to him being the play caller at Florida. One is the continuity aspect with quarterbacks. You bring a quarterback back for a second year, there's an argument to be made that they're going to improve from having the same voice in their ear, not going to someone else. And there's also a desire for coaches to give a path to a younger assistant who's on the rise, to give them the opportunities that they were presented with a decade or 2 decades ago when they were coming up in the profession. To answer the question, I do think that Billy Napier has continued to evolve as a head coach. We're going to have to see the on-field product, of course, to see if that rings true. But I do think the continuity aspect with DJ Lagway having the same voice in his ear, along with the desire for Billy Napier to help a guy like Russ Callaway, who has taken an expanded role with the offense. And to be clear, Napier consults all of his offensive head coaches when it comes to the play calling design and the decision-making process and the game plan in the week leading up to each contest. So we're going to have to see how much of Russ Callaway's influence is entrenched in Florida's offense this upcoming season. I think that's one of the big questions that a lot of people are looking to see answered. You know, how much talent they have at skill position. Obviously, with DJ Lagway, if the offense is more explosive, it's going to be funny. Billy Napier's not going to get a ton of the credit. A lot of it's going to go to Russ Callaway. But if it's archaic and boring, even in a sense, he's going to get all the blame. So it's an interesting position to be in, absolutely. But I do think he has improved. Now at 46 years old, just celebrated his birthday, he's still a relatively young coach in this profession who's only going to continue to get better and better and learn from each year as he moves forward.
All right, let's talk about Lagway, because that's a guy, in terms of ceiling, I don't know that any quarterback in the conference is higher. And that would include Manning, that would include Sellers, that would include Simmons at Ole Miss. I really like all those guys. But Lagway is the franchise player in this conference, in my opinion. So now it's his team. You know, last year, Graham Mertz was still there. That we knew they were going to both play. The injury happens. Lagway takes over, then he's hurt. Now we're full bore with DJ Lagway. What are your expectations for him this season?
I mean, they're incredibly high. I think that you saw him last year, his deep throw ability. He's a touchdown waiting to happen on any given play. His ability to make plays happen if the play call breaks down is just incredibly valuable from an intangible aspect, because it means that it's not all going to fall down on ideal play design. And what we just mentioned with Billy Napier, that could be something that is his undoing in a sense, is his play calling. And if you have a quarterback who can make plays outside the play call, they're going to make you look really, really good. So I think absolutely his ability is exceptional. There are things for him to improve upon, which I think that has been maybe one of the under the radar storylines. He did make some poor decisions last year in reading defenses. He was a first year player. The expectations for him to come in and just know what he was supposed to do were probably unfair. I know that he was the number one quarterback in the class of what, 2024, but
That's
expecting that guy to come in and instantly crush it maybe have been unreasonable expectations. And I think a lot of people will tell you that he exceeded expectations last year. If he could take the next step in decision making, reading defenses, not being overly confident in forcing a throw where a guy isn't open or throwing into double coverage, then he's going to continue to get better. Sometimes you got to know just to, live to play another play. And if he can do that this year and avoid some of those undesirable, giveaways, he's going to be even better. You mentioned the SEC Media Days poll, and I totally get it, because if we're judging it solely off the okay, if all of these quarterbacks are healthy for 12 full games, how are they going to stack up? And you could say, well, that's how it should be done. You shouldn't be factoring in injuries into the conversation. But I think it's quite clear that a lot of people are skeptical, fair or not, about DJ Lagway's availability this upcoming season. You saw him go down injured last year. He missed, a lot of reps spring camp, he was a modified participant, is what they called it. The shoulder injury has been a talking point even in July in SEC media days. And until he comes out there and is viewed, you know, throwing in practice, competing in routes on air, taking full practice reps, and until he actually goes through the season and stays healthy and they protect him and he shows his athleticism, there are fairly some skeptics out there. And I think that that's a little bit fair. You know, he's going to have to prove it. And I'm sure it's just going to be further motivation to show that he is a top three quarterback in the SEC. But there are fairly some questions, in my opinion, about him staying healthy the entire year. And maybe that's why people don't think he's going to have the production, the numbers that some of these other quarterbacks who have proven that they are more durable, have avoided injury, have gotten some more respect over him at this point in the year. So I do understand it, but if we're judging it solely off ability, I do think that DJ Lagway is a top three quarterback in the SEC. He's just going to have to stay healthy for 12 games and showcase it.
I really like the backfield for Florida. You know, Baugh is a really good running back. I think they've got some great talent there. The receivers, I think, are super talented, but they're a little less proven. Do you like the pieces around Lagway in this offense?
Oh, absolutely. I think that they're really being slept on. I saw that a couple outlets named the wide receiver position for Florida as the biggest question mark for the Gators coming into the year. And I understand that on surface level because they're replacing two guys in Shimerae Dike and Elijah Badger, a pair of former transfers who were their top two receiving targets last season. And you look at the guys that they're going to be relying on this upcoming season, some unknowns for sure. I think J. Michael Sturtevant, you look at his numbers from last year at UCLA, you can sit there and say, well, this is not a number one wide receiver, but look at the quarterback play and look at what he did at Cal before he transferred to UCLA. I think he's going to step into the SEC and make his name known this upcoming season. I think a lot of people are forgetting that Eugene Wilson, when he's been healthy, has been absolutely dynamic. That was a guy who had to have, you know, surgery on his hip midway through last season, fixed a congenital issue, you know, something that he's been dealing with since birth, and everything that we've heard since then, since he fully recovered, is that this is a guy who was well on his way to being one of the top wide receivers in the SEC. And then you look at the guys that they either bring back or added from the high school level, Aiden Mizell and Tank Hawkins coming back after last year, two guys who can hit 23 miles per hour. You guys saw up there in Starkville how dynamic Aiden Mizell can be. You know, he had multiple impressive catches, was able to make guys miss in the open field. And that's someone who may be Florida's, you know, fourth or fifth wide receiver this upcoming season. And then you look at Tank Hawkins, another guy who flashed last year. And then everyone always loves to talk about the shiny new toys. You get Dallas Wilson to come in, one of the top wide receivers in the 2025 class, broke multiple spring game records this upcoming in this past spring ahead of his first season at the collegiate level. He had 10 catches for 195 yards and two touchdowns in the spring game. This is a guy that if he can make an instant impact in the offense as a freshman, that's going to be huge for Florida. Vernell Brown III, a legacy guy at Florida, who all the top programs, Georgia, Ohio State, were all after him. You know, he comes in and is going to look to play. I think they're loaded there. And then, yeah, the backfield, Florida's going to run the ball a ton. That is just Florida's MO. They're going to look to establish the run. And Jaden Baugh and Jacoby Jackson look to be an ideal 1-2 punch for Florida. You guys also know this name up there, KD Daniels. That is someone who, you know, he was the high school player of the year as, you know, coming out. This is a guy who I think is going to be the number three back on Florida's roster. You're going to see him a lot more this upcoming season. Treyon Webb is fully healthy, and they added a lot of guys in Duke Clark, Byron Lewis. Chad Gasper is going to spend the year recovering and getting better. This is a backfield that I think is going to be dynamic, and they're going to take a by-committee approach this year to keep some of those guys healthy and fresh. So I love the skill position talent around DJ Lagway. I think it's really being slept on outside of Gainesville. I think they have a lot of potential, maybe not a ton of production and experience coming back, but I think a lot of guys who by the end of the season are going to be pretty well-known names outside of Gainesville.
Defensively, a season ago, this was a below average team, second to last in total defense, 12th in scoring defense. But they bring back a lot of experience when you look at this lineup. It's crazy. I talk about this website all the time, rlads.com. I'm sure you're familiar with it, where they keep the depth charts. And there's not a lot of transfers. There's not a lot of new faces in that what they project as the starting lineup for the Gators. Can this defense take a step forward in 2025?
Yeah, they have a lot of continuity on the roster. They did lose some key pieces. Jason Marshall Jr., when he was healthy last season, was the top cornerback in man coverage for the first half of the year. Shamar James was a very productive linebacker for Florida for all 3 seasons he was in Gainesville. You lose TreQuest Bridges as well, a guy who I think is going to be someone who has a multi-year career in the NFL. A lot of pieces that you have to replace in all 3 levels, but you look at the talent that they brought back, especially on the defensive front, getting George Gums Jr. back after a really impressive debut season. Tyreek Sapp is, I think, one of the better edge rushers in not just the SEC, but in the nation. I think that he's going to be someone who's going to make a case for being a first-round pick in 2026. And then obviously Caleb Banks, you know, Banks didn't start the season the way he wanted. October wasn't ideal for him, but he was an absolute monster in November. And the message to him is if he can play the way he did in November for the entire 2025 season, that's a guy who has first round pick written all over him. His ability to get to the quarterback, be disruptive along the line, he was just a menace against LSU and against Ole Miss. And that's a huge returning piece for Florida, and it's a big money year for him. And then you look at linebacker as well. You know, in that front seven, Grayson Howard comes back. He had a really good season for Florida last year, ended up getting injured there in down the stretch for the final 3 weeks of the year. Miles Graham is stepping into a starting role as a sophomore, going to compete with Aaron Childs and Jaden Robinson in that linebacker unit. And then you have Cormani McClain, a very well-known name, a former five-star guy who is competing for a starting role opposite Devin Moore. Devin Moore has been a really, really good corner for Florida as well, but it's again a question of availability for him. He's been injured in all the last 3 seasons, hasn't been able to finish what he started, but when he's been on the field, he's been extremely effective, really, really good in coverage, more physical than I think he gets credit for. Just has had a bad run of bad luck when it comes to injuries. So you factor all those guys I just mentioned in with the fact that you return your top, you know, starting safeties from last year and Jordan Castell, a guy who started as a freshman, started every game last year, was Florida's leading tackler. And then Bryce Thornton came along as the season progressed. He did really, really well down the stretch there, had 2 interceptions against Ole Miss. And this defense did make strides. I know they ranked, you know, near the bottom in the SEC in many categories. They had a lot of things to overcome, especially the way they started the year, but they improved in a lot of metrics last season. They only had 3 interceptions in 2023, had 14 last season. They were able to get to the quarterback at a more effective rate, increase their sack totals, and they were much better against the run and limiting explosive passes. So if they can do all those things and keep building on what they showcased in last November, I hate talking about the past in a sense, but it is so important to the narrative of Florida because the reason there's all this belief in the Gators, not just internally in the football facility, but a lot of people externally, you know, in the media, picking them to finish 6th in the conference when a year ago they were 12th and naming 8 players to the preseason All-SEC teams. A lot of that is predicated on the notion that we're going to see more of the November 2024 Gators throughout the 2025 season rather than this team that in September and October just left a lot to be desired despite the talent there. And if they can do that, I do think that they're going to be a dark horse candidate to compete in the SEC for one of those last spots in the college football playoff. Obviously, everything has to go according to plan. Guys have to stay healthy. You have to protect DJ Lagway. You can't allow those opportunities to slip by. You got to win some road games in this conference, which is so difficult. But if they can do all those things, they definitely have the components to be a team that we're talking about here in late November is maybe sneaking in to the college football playoff if they take care of business.
So you sort of hit on it there. You know, Florida starts off with a couple of easy non-conference games. Then it's at LSU, at Miami, off week, Texas at home, at Texas A&M. That's when, and then Mississippi State comes to Gainesville. If you had to make a quick projection, you know, what do you think this Florida Gator team will be when State arrives on October the 18th?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that they're 4-2. You know, if they can do that, you know, those first couple games, no offense to Long Island and USF, like you said, they should be better tune-up
Fine
games.
programs, Graham. Fine programs, but.
I don't want to call them inferior competition because you
Right.
actually got to go out there and win the games. But let's be quite honest, they pale from a talent perspective to the teams that the Gators are going to face for the next 10 games on their schedule. So if they can win those 2 games and get some momentum, go into Baton Rouge, obviously a tough night game, you know, in Death Valley, Tiger Stadium against one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC, an LSU team that I think is going to be a lot better than a lot of people expect. I think this is the year for Brian Kelly. You look at what they did in the transfer portal, getting the number one class, getting Nussmeier back, a lot of key pieces returning on their defense from Harold Perkins to, you know, multiple guys that they added along the defensive front along with him. I think they're going to be really, really good. Then obviously hosting Texas, let's see what happens with Arch Manning. You know, that team has a ton of talent, and I'm not going to sit here and discredit the Longhorns, but they do have to come to Gainesville, and you have a chance when you're hosting that team to steal that one necessarily. And then, you know, going to Texas A&M, I think that of the games that we just mentioned on this in this first half of the season, that's probably going to be the most underrated difficult game for Florida. You know, I do think that when you talk about quarterbacks just not getting respect, I'm surprised that more people aren't higher on Marcel Reed coming into this year. I think he's going to be tremendous. And I think that what the Aggies have done in rebuilding that program and getting them back on track under Elko, they're going to be a much better team than I think a lot of people expect. I think they're a top 10 team this year. I also am not super high on this Miami team. I'm going to need to see it to believe it. You know, they're going from the number one offense in college football to turning to a guy in Carson Beck that Florida was able to pick off three times last year, and he had a better coaching staff around him, and you could argue a better supporting cast. So I do think that that is going to be a game that's more of a toss-up than people think. I know you look at last year and see 41-17 in Gainesville. You know, the Gators have no chance down there in Miami. I think it's going to be a lot closer game than people expect. So if they can get out of those with even just two losses at the midpoint of the season, you look at the way the rest of the season, you know, shapes up. Mississippi State, Kentucky, Florida State, all winnable games for the Gators. No offense. Don't hate me up there in Starkville. But, you know, they're all games that I think
Florida's 2-10, Graham, we kind of know where we are up here, yeah.
Great people, great program. You know, they're going to get back, absolutely. A lot of pride there. I have no doubt about it. But I think Florida's roster and the continuity on the coaching staff just in a better spot right now. And I think that, if you know, 8 wins is very manageable for this Florida team. Obviously, they have to go to Ole Miss down the stretch, and that's going to be a tough game. Face Tennessee, another team with a lot of questions, but a chance to be really, really good when you look at that defense. And if they can get efficient quarterback play, I think they're going to be really, really good. But the schedule shapes up where the Gators have a chance to win 8, maybe 9 games this upcoming season. And when you look at that schedule and how it compares to those around the country, easily a top 5 schedule when it comes to most difficult. If you're 8-4, even in the SEC with that schedule, there's going to be a lot of people out there who are saying you deserve a chance to play in the college football playoff to show what you can do, especially if you show late season improvements the way the Gators did last year. So if they can get out of that first half, that brutal month of facing LSU, Miami, Texas, Texas A&M, you know, if they can get out of that and still have some momentum and not be fractured and be building and improving, then I do think that the Gators are going to be in the contention to make the CFP for the first time under Napier.
One last question, and you can give a quick answer if you want. Is it weird playing Tennessee in November? It's weird to see it on the schedule like that.
Yeah, I think the last time it happened, I was 8 years old. You know, I was thinking about skipping the dentist and how much recess
was
I would
get. Was that
01?
Was that what
it was? It was 01.
After 9/11, so that doesn't even count.
Yeah,
you know?
It doesn't even count.
Yeah.
It wasn't like this. You know, this is the latest I can remember, certainly in my 10 years being on the beat here, where I can remember Florida playing Tennessee this time of the year, which is really, really interesting. I like the change because you're so used to it being a mid-September matchup or a mid-October matchup. And then either one of those teams, depending on how they finish down the slate, is going to sit here and potentially discredit the other team's victory, right? Where they're going to say, well, you know, if they played us in November when we were this good and had figured some things out, look how good we could be, you know? I'm glad that it's going to be in November. You know, certainly you're going to have some caveats where people are going to say, well, we had this guy injured, but this is when teams should be hitting their stride from a scheme standpoint, understanding what they need to do to win. Guys are more developed. You've built up your second and third string guys to be able to contribute at a higher rate if injuries do occur. I like this game being in November for the final SEC game. You're kind of, if you're Florida, going back to back with rivalry games to end the year, facing Tennessee and then Florida State. I like that. I don't like the you have an inferior opponent in the last week of the season.
Yeah.
I don't like that whatsoever because you should absolutely, you know, it's recency bias in a sense where teams are going to be trying to put their best, most positive impression on display at the end of the year. And I think that Florida versus Tennessee, those two teams are going to be potentially in the college football playoff discussion, and seeing them duke it out in late November is going to be awesome to watch.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture like a September Egg Bowl, and I just can't get my head around that. So we'll see what happens. All right, Graham, we will talk to you again as we get a little closer to October the 18th. Bring you back to the podcast then, man. Appreciate your time. Graham Hall, Swamp 24/7. Always glad to talk about the Florida Gators with you.
Absolutely. Always my pleasure, Brian. We got to do it again soon.
Always great to talk to Graham. We'll talk to him again when we get into October to talk about that game as it happens. So I mentioned, you know, let's do the Mississippi State version of that schedule, right? So, you know, we know the four non-conference games, and then it's Tennessee, Texas A&M. You do get an off week before you make this trip. Gosh, Robbie, even if you're 4-2, there's a lot on the line when you go to Florida. If you're 4-2, if you've won those first four non-conference games, even if you lose to Tennessee and Texas A&M, there's a lot riding on this game for both teams, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you look at it, we talked a lot about what's happening for Florida at what point in the season, and what's their mindset going to be, what's going on with Billy Napier. This first part of the schedule right before the state game is really big for Florida. You're going to start off 2-0, and then you got at LSU, at Miami, Texas, at Texas A&M in four straight weeks. That is brutal. You know, if Texas A&M was at home, that'd be a little different. But this is brutal. This is a brutal start.
I mean, remember last year we were talking about Florida? We're just like, God, the schedule is ridiculous. Yeah. And give them credit. They found a way to win.
And we thought when they came to Starkville, they would be down and out.
They were down and out. And Mississippi State handed it to them on a platter.
Yeah. Playing this at Florida.
Going to be tough.
They'll probably win that game.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, you got Georgia. You got to go to Ole Miss. You get Tennessee, Florida State.
There's a world where they have a great start to the season and then they finish with five losses.
Yeah.
They could easily
I think
be.
They're going to a bowl game for sure, but.
Well, they'll go to a bowl game, yeah, but like they could look at the first half up to the Mississippi State game. They could very easily. Let's say they beat Miami.
Yeah.
Right? And they beat Texas A&M and they beat Mississippi State and they're 5-2. And you're like, all right. There's a path to the college football playoff, and then you play to Georgia. You're at Ole Miss. You host Tennessee. Even Florida State's going to be better.
Yep.
I mean, there's just I just don't know what to make of Florida. Florida is one of the high level. I got to see what they are. Teams.
They got a little bit of juice coming from the offseason.
They do
finished the season strong.
But then Lagway was like a question mark all offseason. They're like, is he hurt? They don't know what's going on. I just don't know. I have no faith in Napier.
Having Lagway, especially if he's healthy, fully healthy, having him, he's a difference maker.
He was really special
last year at times.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be really good. So that's a big thing. If you can check the box of you have a difference maker at quarterback, that answers a ton of questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
The teams that have the difference makers, even if their team is fairly average, I'm not saying Auburn 2010 was average, but Mississippi State, I think, as a whole, if you take away Cam Newton off that Auburn team, I liked Mississippi State's roster more. That's not a homer take. I thought State's defense was better.
Well, I mean, we've talked about Cam Newton that played on a team where what one other guy went to the NFL, Nick Fairley, and that's it?
Nobody really talked about anybody else. Dwyer at running back was solid.
Yeah, but
they had one really good wide receiver, I think. But State's 2010
they
team
had a ton of NFL guys.
Really good.
Yeah.
That defense was stacked. You had Vic Ballard in the
Cam Newton
game.
May have been the greatest college football player of all time.
So that's kind of my point. And I'm not saying that Lagway is quite Cam Newton level, but I think he's going to be an NFL guy.
He's very good.
NFL round pick.
Very good.
So you have a guy like that, it changes a lot for you, and he can make a difference. So we'll see how it plays out. This could be a team that wins, you know, if things fall the right way, they could win 9-10 games.
They could also win
six,
five or six games. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
this little stretch right before state is huge.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. So where are we on the opponent previews? We got Florida. All right. So next week is an off week. So we won't have an opponent preview on next week's show.
Okay.
That's no big deal though. All right. Tomorrow's show. I don't know yet. I don't know. I do have some programming news though. 1 week from tomorrow. Friday the 31st, is that right? That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, Friday the 1st.
The first.
That will be
31st will be
yeah, the Thursday.
The Thursday.
That will be the annual release of the TNL All 22 rankings, which we finally have got a handle on here on this show.
I believe so.
Robbie and I have had some communication issues through the past couple of years. I blame myself. I take full responsibility.
What year? I forgot all about it, and I just had to do it on
Didn't
the
it on
spot.
the fly, and it didn't work.
It's a disaster.
We're good this way. I gave him plenty of notice, and I will remind you again. The week after that, so that would be the 8th, we will unveil the annual Mississippi State Media Poll, which we have done, I believe, is our 9th annual here on going back to the B&B show days. So we will get the pulse of everybody on the Mississippi State beat that covers the Bulldogs and see what they think about this upcoming season. So we got some big shows coming up for Friday, but tomorrow's show? I don't know.
We might have to talk about this logo again.
Oh, no, come on now. Come on now, please. I can't go another step with this. Come
I'm
on.
Getting an itch.
All right, we'll see. We'll see what tomorrow brings. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.